Good morning and welcome to Lots of Love Ministries. We are so glad you're here today. Whether this is your first time with us or you've been on this journey from the very beginning, you are welcome in this place. Lots of love, because that is exactly what God has for you. Not a little, not enough, not just enough. Lots. And because Lots is an acronym for living out the scriptures, we hope you see us doing exactly that and are encouraged to learn how you also can live out the scriptures of love in your sphere of influence. Today, we come to the close of one of the most meaningful journeys we've taken together, a deep dive into the names of the one true God. If you've been with us every week, you know what I mean when I say these names have a way of getting into you. And if you're joining us for the first time today, you're arriving at exactly the right moment, because today we gather everything up and send it home with you. Before we do anything else, let's pray. Father, we come into your presence today with grateful hearts. You are the God who brought us here, every one of us, by name, on purpose, for this moment. You are El Roy, and you saw us before we walked through the door. You are Jireh, and you have already provided everything we need for today. You are Yahweh, the I Am, and you are present in this room right now. We ask you, Ruach HaKodesh, to move freely among us. Open our ears to hear. Open our hearts to receive. Where there is weariness, bring renewal. Where there is doubt, bring faith. Where there is pain, bring the healing presence of Rapha. And where there is fear, remind us that Nilkemli, the Lord who fights for us, has not stood down. We don't come here today just to learn about you. We come to know you, to encounter you, to leave here different than we arrived. So have your way, Lord. This time belongs to you. In the name of Yeshua. Amen. So, like I said, we've been on a journey together. And like every good journey, there comes a moment when you stop, look back at the road you've walked, and realize you're not quite the same person who started it. That's where we are today. We began this series with a simple premise, that the names of God are not religious vocabulary words. They're not ancient trivia. They are invitations, windows thrown open into the character of the living God, each one revealing something we could not have seen through any other window. So before we look forward, let's look back. Let's remember who we serve. We got to meet God as Bore, our creator, and as Elohim, the mighty one, who spoke light into darkness and called it good. We stood in awe of a God whose power is not intimidating, but generative, whose strength always moves toward life. This is the God who didn't just make the universe and step back. He shaped it, named it, and called it good. That word matters. He looked at what he made, including you, and called it good. We encountered him as El Elyon, God Most High, God above all gods and powers. Not one option among many, not the strongest competitor in a crowded field. He is above every power that has ever made you afraid, every force that has ever threatened you, every authority that has ever told you that you don't matter. Above all of it, over all of it, El Elyon. We stood before El Olam, the everlasting God, outside of time, unchanging and eternal. The God who was before the beginning and will be long after every end. When everything around you is shifting, when the ground beneath your feet feels unreliable, he is the fixed point. He has always been. He will always be. He is El Olam. We found him as El Shaddai, God Almighty, the God of the mountain, the all-sufficient one, the one who makes impossible promises to people who are too old and too tired and too far past hope to believe them, and then keeps those promises anyway. Abraham and Sarah can tell you that. When God says it, the impossibility of it is not a problem. We saw him as Yahweh Jireh, the God who provides, not the God who sometimes provides when we've been good enough, but the God who sees our need before we even speak it and meets us on the mountain with exactly what we require. On that same mountain where Abraham raised the knife, God provided, and he still does. We rested in El Roy, the God who sees. The name Hagar gave him in the wilderness when she was alone and forgotten and certain that no one was watching. He was watching. He is always watching. Not with the cold eye of a judge, but with the warm gaze of a father who cannot look away from his children. We received healing under the name Yahweh Rapha, the Lord who heals. Not just bodies, though he heals those too, but the deep places, the wounds that don't show up on any medical chart, the grief that has no diagnosis. He is Rapha, and he heals all of it. We discovered his covenant name, Yahweh, the I am who I am, the God who refused to give Moses a past tense name because he is never merely historical. He is always present. When Moses stood at that burning bush, trembling and full of excuses, God didn't say, I was. He said, I am. And he still is right now in this room, in your life, in the thing you're carrying that you haven't told anyone about. I am. He learned that he is God, the one true God, not one of many, not the best among equals, the only one. And we learned that Yeshua is the fullness of that name, that every name we've studied finds its completion in him. We rallied under Nissi, the Lord our banner, when Israel was exhausted on the battlefield and Moses' arms grew heavy, the banner stayed lifted and the battle was won. He is still our banner. He is still the one under whom we fight, and he does not lower his standard. We found rest in shalom, not just the absence of conflict, but the presence of wholeness. Peace that doesn't depend on circumstances. Peace that stands in the middle of the storm and says, it is well with my soul. Gideon built an altar and called it Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace, because he had met the God who brings peace into places where peace has no right to exist. We stood firm in Yahweh Sikkenu, the Lord our righteousness. We don't come to God with our own record. We come covered in his. That is not a small thing. That is everything. We were strengthened by Yahweh Zavaot, the Lord of hosts, the God of angel armies. When Elisha's servant woke up surrounded by the enemy in panic, Elisha prayed that his eyes would be opened. And suddenly the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire. Armies of heaven are real when they serve the Lord of hosts. We learned that Adonai Nekemli, the Lord, fights for us powerfully, faithfully, and on our behalf. We are not fighting our battles alone. We never were. The God who parted the Red Sea and told his people to stand still and watch, that same God is fighting for you right now. Then we moved from the battlefield to the pasture and met Yeshua as Yahweh Rohe, the Lord is my shepherd, the one who leads, who provides, who searches for the one that is lost, who lays down his life for the sheep. Psalm 23 is not a poem for funerals. It is a map for the living, a description of what it looks like to be led by a God who knows exactly where he's taking you. Oh, hallelujah. We rested in Yahweh Shammah. The Lord is there. His presence is not a reward for good behavior. It is his promise. Wherever you go, he is already there. We were undone by Kadosh Israel, the Holy One of Israel. Holy, holy, holy. Not just morally pure, but set apart, other, beyond anything we can fully comprehend. And yet, and this is a miracle, this holy God draws near to us. He doesn't keep his distance. He comes close. We were transformed by Yahweh Mikdashkem, the Lord who sanctifies you. He doesn't just forgive us and leave us as we are. He makes us holy. He works from the inside out, changing what we love, what we want, and what we reach for. Amen. And as Passover drew near, we worship Yahweh Moshiach, our Savior, and Yeshua, our Passover Lamb and Redeemer, the one who was slain so that death would pass over us. The blood on the doorpost was never just a story about Egypt. It was always a story about him. When most recently we stood at the empty tomb, we declared the names that belong to the God of resurrection, Ahai, the living God, and El Osefela, the God who works wonders, and Yeshua himself, who looked death in the face and walked out of it, who said, I am the resurrection and the life, and then proved it. That is who we serve. That is who we have been learning to know. Here's what I want you to hold on to. We didn't study these names so you could pass a theology exam. We studied them so that when you're in the wilderness, like the children of Israel, when you're in a place like Hagar, feeling abused and rejected, when you're like Moses, standing in the holy place of commissioning, feeling unworthy, when you're like Abraham on the mountain, being asked to make great and what seems like impossible sacrifices, when you, like the disciples, are huddled behind locked doors, trembling in fear and confusion, you would know who to call on. And more than that, you know what kind of God you're calling on. I want to stay with that last set of names for just a moment, because they set the stage for everything we're about to say. Elohai, the living God, Psalms 84:2 says, my soul longs for you. Yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. We sang that song today in worship. My soul longs for you. My soul longs for you. Nothing else will do. Nothing else will do. It's not a concept, not a historical figure, not a theological system. The living God, the one who is not a relic of the past, but active, present, breathing reality right now. I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that. Because this matters, because it means everything we've learned in this series. It's not about a God who was. It's about a God who is. He is not the God who used to provide. He is Jireh, and he provides today. He is not the God who once healed. He is Rapha, and he heals now. He is not the God who fought for his people in some ancient war. He is Adonai Nilkem Lee. And he is fighting for you right now in the specific battle you woke up carrying this morning. And he is El Osefela, the God who works wonders. Psalm 77:14 declares it plainly. You are the God who works wonders. You have made known your might among the peoples. The psalmist wrote that in a moment of deep distress. He was sleepless, troubled, questioning whether God had forgotten him. And then he did something that changed everything. He remembered. He called to mind the works of God, the wonders of old, and in remembering, his faith was built, rebuilt. That's exactly what we're doing today. We're remembering. And the remembering is not nostalgia. It's fuel. Fuel for your faith. So if you're feeling like the psalmist, like God is nowhere to be found. He's forgotten you. Remember. Remember who he is and that he is faithful. Here's the thing about the names of God. We haven't run out of them. Not even close. His nature is not a finite thing we can exhaust in these sermon series. Every time you open scripture, you're stepping into a room with no walls. There is always more, always deeper, always further in. So here's my challenge to you. Don't stop here. Take a journal and start writing down every name you find. Pray through them. That is a ritual. That is a conversation. When you're anxious, call on El Shaddai. When you feel unseen, whisper El Roy. When the battle feels overwhelming, remind yourself that Adonai Milkim Li, the Lord who fights for you, has not stood down. When you need healing, bring your broken places to Rapha. When the situation looks impossible, remember El Osei Fela, the God who works wonders, and ask him to do it again. Look for God's character in the stories of Scripture, too. You'll find his names embedded in the narrative long before they're formally declared. In the way he clothes Adam and Eva after their failure, in the way he preserves Noah through the flood, in the way he leads his people through the wilderness with fire by night and cloud by day. The names are everywhere, if you're looking. There's a reason we can trust all this. There's a reason these ancient names still carry weight today, in this room, in your specific life, with the specific heartbreaks and specific hopes. It's because he doesn't change. Jeremiah wrote Lamentations from the ruins of Jerusalem. The city had fallen. The temple was gone. Everything the people had built their identity around had been reduced to ash and rubble. And in the middle of that devastation, right at the center of the book, Jeremiah does something remarkable. He stops cataloging his grief. And he calls something to mind. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. That's Lamentations 3:22-23. And we sang that song this morning in worship too, didn't we? It comes straight from this verse. Read that again slowly. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. This man is sitting in the ruins of everything he loved, and he's writing about God's faithfulness. Not because everything is fine or was fine, not because the pain isn't real, but because he knows something about God that ruins cannot disprove. God's mercy doesn't run out. It doesn't get used up. It doesn't expire. Every morning, every single morning, it is fresh. It is new. You wake up and his compassions are already there, waiting for you, full and undiminished. That's not poetry. That's a fact about the character of God that has been true since before Jeremiah wrote it, and is still true today. And it will still be true tomorrow morning when you open your eyes. Remember that when you open your eyes tomorrow morning. God's mercy doesn't run out. It doesn't expire or get used up. It's new every morning. And great is his faithfulness. This is why the names matter so much. When you know his names, when you know that he is Yahweh, always present, El Roy, always watching, Jireh, always providing, Milkim Li, always fighting, you are not collecting interesting information. You are building a foundation. You are stacking stones of remembrance so that when the ruins come, and sometimes they do, you have something to stand on. Amen? But I can't close this series without talking about the one who makes all this possible. The one who takes the names from the page and makes them real in your life, in my life, in our life. Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. Yeshua told his disciples just before he went to the cross that he would not leave them alone. He said, "The Counselor, the Ruach HaKodesh, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything. That is, he will remind you of everything I have told you." That's John 14:26. And then he said something even more remarkable. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth." John 16:13. Wow. Just wow. Do you understand what that means for us right now at the end of the series? The same Spirit who hovered over the waters at creation, the same Ruha who breathed life into Adam, who rested on the prophets, and who raised Yeshua from the dead, that Spirit lives in you. He is the comforter when grief is too heavy to carry. He is the guide when you don't know which way to go. He is the one who takes the name Chai, the living God, and makes it not just a theological truth, but a lived experience, a pulse you can feel, a presence you can sense, a voice you can follow. He is always the one who empowers us to be his witnesses. Yeshua said, "You will receive power when the Ruach HaKodesh comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses," in Acts 1:8. The adventure of knowing God doesn't end with us. The Spirit sends us out, carrying the names, living the reality of them, and showing a watching world what it looks like to be loved by El Chai, the living God, who, yes, is very much alive. So what do we do with all this? I want to ask you something honest. Has knowing these names actually changed anything for you? Not in theory, but in practice. In the way you pray, in the way you worship, in the way you face the things that scare you. Because knowledge about God that doesn't change us is just information. And information isn't the goal. Transformation is. Yeshua told the woman at the well that the hour was coming when true worshipers would worship the Father in spirit and in truth, in John 4:23. Not just emotion, not just in correct doctrine, both spirit and truth together. The heart fully engaged, the mind rightly oriented, and the Ruach HaKodesh making it all alive. That's what we've been building toward, a worship that is rooted, a faith that isn't just feeling, but is anchored in the very character of a God we actually know. Not know about, but have a intimate relationship with. So let me ask you, how does Elroy change the way you walk into a room where you feel invisible? How does Jireh change the way you pray when money is tight and the fear is loud? How does Nilkem Lee change the way you face the battle you've been dreading? How does El Osei Fela change the way you pray for the situation that looks impossible? How does Atai, the living God, change the way you open your Bible tomorrow morning, knowing that the one whose words you're reading is not a historical figure, but a present, living, active God who is speaking still? If you can answer those questions, if these names have become more than words, then something real has happened in you during this series, and that is worth celebrating. I want to close by telling you something I generally believe. The venture of knowing God never ends. There's no point in this life, or the next, I suspect, where you will arrive at a full and complete understanding of who God is. He is just too vast for that. Too deep. Too rich. Even the angels who've been with him for millennia still cry, "Holy, holy, holy," at each revelation that they constantly are getting a new one of. That's what I've learned. That's what's been taught. And I believe it. So we are just like them. We're going to continue knowing God more and more through all eternity. Every answered prayer reveals another facet Every season of suffering, if you let it, will introduce you to a name you didn't know you needed. Every morning brings new mercy, and with it, another opportunity to know him a little bit more. That's not a burden. That's the most extraordinary invitation in the universe. So go home and open your Bible. Pray through the names you've learned. Look for him in the ordinary moments of your week, in the provision that shows up just in time, in the moment you feel seen when you thought no one was looking, in the peace that arrives when it has no business being there, in the wonder that breaks through when El Ose Fela does something only he can do. That Ruach Kodesh leads you. He will teach you. He will guide you. He will comfort you. He will remind you of everything. And he will send you out as a witness to the God whose names you now carry. He is Bore, your creator. He is Elohim, mighty and good. He is Yahweh, the I Am, who is always present. He is El Shaddai, the God of impossible promises. He is Jireh, who provides. He is El Roy, who looks at you with love. He is Shalom, your peace. He is Rapha, your healer. He is Nilkam Li, your fighter. He is El Hai, the living God. He is El Ose Fela, the God who works wonders. He is Yeshua, the resurrection and the life. And he has given you Ruach HaKodesh so that you would never walk alone, because he is Yahweh Eloheinu, the Lord our God. Yahweh Eloheka, the Lord your God. Yahweh Elohe, the Lord my God. Yahweh Elohi Israel, the Lord, the God of Israel. And we are Israel. Let's pray. Father, we come to the end of this journey knowing that you are not finished with us and that we are not finished with you. We have only just begun to know your name. So we ask you, Yahweh, to keep drawing us deeper. El Roy, keep watching over us. Jireh, meet us on the mountain with exactly what we need. El Shaddai, give us faith for the promises we can't yet see. Rapha, bring your healing to every broken place we carry. Nilkam Li, fight for us in every battle we face. El Ose Fela, do what only you can do in the situations that feel impossible. El Hai, remind us every morning that you are alive and that because you live, we live also. And Ruach HaKodesh, come. Teach us, guide us, comfort us, lead us into all truth, and send us out as witnesses to the God whose names we now carry in our hearts. Great is your faithfulness, your mercy new every morning. And we are grateful, not just for what you do, but for who you are. In the name above every name, Yeshua, we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know about you, but that completely energized me. I pray you do life this week energized by knowing the one true God in all his names, and that we have discussed, as well as others you discover as you study the Bible. Remember, I always tell you, be a Berean. Study the word for yourself. Search the scriptures, and may you be filled to the full this week with the Holy Spirit, and may he bring shalom to your home.